This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
And we're back, everybody. Let's do this thing on a Monday off day for your Cleveland Indians. It is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, and it is brought to you by our friends at WaitingForNextYear.com. Matt and Todd with you, brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein and his crew, and, of course, Breaking Tea T-shirts at BreakingTea.com/Dairy. Todd, what a wild weekend. This whole week for the Indians, these were like heavyweight fights against the White Sox and Reds. And I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted. I'm glad the off day is here.
I agree. We really needed it. As a fan, I needed it. I mean, you tell me, as someone who's watched more Indians baseball than anyone other than me, because I watch the same amount as you, could you remember a week in April or May in any season that was as intense as this last one that we just went through? I can't think of one off the top of my head. I don't know about you.
April or May intensity? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, usually you don't play these kind of games in April and May. But if we go back this week, if the White Sox series, those four games itself, that was an unbelievable series. You had Bieber, Giolito matching zeros in a game that felt like October. And even Bieber said so after the game, in the incredible win. So that was, they won 2-0 in extras in that one. Then you had the no-hitter by Carlos Rodon in the same series.
God, was that gross.
Terrible. And then you had, what was the other one?
Saturday.
We got blown out. Well, no, I'm saying they got blown out, and then there was the other close game. They won 4-2. And then this weekend you had, you know, Friday night was a debacle. Saturday's game was, I mean, if the Indians miss the playoffs by one game or end up in a play-in game to get to the wild card, there's only one game the entire fan base is going to remember.
That's right.
We have Josh Naylor watching, letting the ball go through his legs like Bill Buckner. And then yesterday was an intense game, too, with the ended up being a win. So what a week it was. A lot of ups and downs. But again, you know, with the Indians in April, notorious slow starters. I heard Ken Carman say this morning on 92.3 The Fan. He said, I say it every year.
Tall boy Friday.
Let's just get out of April at 500 and then go. I kind of agree with that, especially this year with all the things that are going on.
It's sad. I don't disagree. April's turned into a science experiment for Tito and Cherninetti and that three-headed monster, because it's just like Colin Cowgill, Hanley Ramirez, Domingo Santana,
Carlos Gonzalez,
Cargo. This year, Ben Gamel playing.
Jake Bowers, Ben Gamel. Yeah, you're so right. It happens every single year. And you know what Tito always says? Oh, April in Cleveland. He used that as the excuse to not bring up Oscar Mercado to start the season last time. He used it for Bradley Zimmer once. They used it for Francisco Lindor when he was a rookie. It's like their thing.
But I think this time around, this is not about Tito wanting veterans at all. Maybe he wanted Gamble, but, from all indications, you know, and you could just tell by the amount of times that Tito waits until the ninth inning to trot Jake Bowers up in a pinch hitting opportunity against the left-hander just to embarrass him. I don't think, you know, the fact that there are games where Tito plays Chang over Bowers or moved Naylor to first base this weekend and didn't put Bowers in for defensive purposes in the ninth inning of Saturday's debacle tells you all you need to know about Jake Bowers and what Tito thinks of him. And
tells you all you need to know.
Totally. So it's like, you know, it's Monday. We're recording this at 11:30. How's Jake Bowers not been fucking DFA'd yet?
Woo, look at that.
No, I'm serious. Like, enough's enough. It's an off day. Let this be a travel day for Bradley or Daniel Johnson up from Columbus. They're playing exhibition games in Columbus. I did some research today. I didn't even know they were playing those games in Columbus, but they are. And they're offering tickets at Clippers.com. But But it's like, get him out of here. Enough. What more do you need to see? Enough already.
That's a direct quote, by the way, from Indians play-by-play man Tom Hamilton on this very podcast 3 weeks ago when we were discussing right at the beginning of the season. It was the week before. It was a few days before the season started, and we asked him about the first base job, and he said, I don't know why they say they have to see more of Jake Bowers. Haven't we seen enough already to know? You and I have discussed this many times. I've heard this from people around the team as well, going back now 3 seasons. Tito Francona was not happy with how Jake Bowers handled his first taste of everyday play as a big leaguer back in the 2019 season.
Right, it was 2 years ago.
Right, so much so that last year, when the Indians were dying for outfield help, they tried everyone under the sun except for Jake Bowers, who never got called up. And then at the beginning of this year, it seems to me and anybody else who's watching that this is being forced on Tito. Now, you could also say, well, you know, shouldn't Tito have more pull, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I think ultimately he does have more say in his roster than most managers. But if you look now, basically, if you look now at baseball, these managers are nothing more than errand boys for the general managers. You think that Jace Tingler is pulling the strings in San Diego? You know,
well,
what I mean?
That's not fair. I think Tito definitely has.
Fair.
Well, I think Tito has more say than that guy.
But that's my point. My point is Tito has more say than the majority of these guys. That's what I was saying. I wasn't saying that Tito has no say.
I got it.
I'm saying he's got more say than someone like Jace Tingler in San Diego, who, you know, or a lot of these younger managers are just, who's the manager in Arizona? Sure.
What about Toronto? Isn't that Charlie somebody?
Montoya, yeah. I mean,
don't Ross even know who he is
making those calls.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Shapiro. So the point is, in certain instances, the front office wins. And I think, honestly, and this is going to go back a long time, I got 2 instances. Number one, Eric Wedge and Mark Shapiro had a partnership. And Chris Antonetti worked for that partnership. And I don't remember the exact year, but you know exactly where I'm going with this. Brandon Phillips was 22 years old or 23 years old at the time.
No, not this, not this again.
The Indians had a full season at 21. They played him at second base. He wasn't ready. The next season at age 22, he spent the entire year in AAA. Then he was going to be, I believe the story was he was out of options. And at it doesn't seem to make sense, but I think he was out of options at the time. And it came down to Ramon Vasquez, and Brandon Phillips for the last spot on the roster. And Eric Wedge forced himself with the partnership, forced himself on Mark Shapiro and said, I do not want this punk on my team. You know, Brandon Phillips had the flashy play. He was, you know, whatever you want to say. I liked them a lot. They gave up on him too early. Long and the short of it is they traded him for Jeff Stevens, some swag reliever, and Brandon Phillips played in Major League Baseball about 15 years, made several All-Star teams, and flourished in Cincinnati, and was a great player and a great teammate. And they gave up on him too quickly. And I think that that has to be in Antonetti's head. That's number one. And then another one is Gio Urshela. And I know this is going to – I'm not saying revisionist history, but Gio Urshela – another guy that, if you want to, I don't believe they gave up on him too early. I think they gave him every chance he could to be great.
And then he was airmailing throws in the playoffs.
So was Eric Gonzalez, for that matter. But they
dropped
Gio Urshela. Yeah, they dropped Gio Urshela. And then, you know, so did Toronto. And then now he's flourishing in New York. So I think that that's also fresh in their head. And they don't want Jake. You know, if I have to hear one more time that Jake Bowers is 25 years old, I don't fucking care. He stinks. He's not good.
You know, I mean, Gio.
And you see it.
Yeah, Gio.
How does Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff not see that this guy's not a player?
Well, and it might not necessarily be those guys. It might not necessarily. I mean,
okay,
yes.
Let me just finish this thought, and then I'll start talking.
Yeah.
Finally, if the respected manager of your team, who is as respected as any manager in the game, is basically telling you, I don't want this guy on my team, why are you forcing him to make this guy your first baseman? They're lucky, by the way, that they played this many left-handed pitchers, so he hasn't had to play as much as he has. But I tweeted this yesterday, and I caught a ton of flack, and people are like, oh, that's ridiculous and petty. I believe this, and I know you do too. Tito sent him up there a couple times late innings to pinch hit. He could have used Roberto Perez yesterday, and Saturday, and he didn't. And he used Jake Bowers, and Bowers up against the lefty, and Bowers went up there and struck out. He looked at a pitch that was right down the middle, and then he swung at the pitch that was above his eyes for strike three. And I think Tito's saying to Antonetti and Chernoff, you wanted this fucker? You got him. This is your guy.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. And people can say, well, who do Matt and Todd Derry know in the organization? They have no sources. Trust me. We know people. Okay, I know people. Unfortunately,
people who know people, baby.
Well, I mean,
Indians podcast there is.
That's right.
We don't know people. Come on.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. And even if you don't know anybody and you're just a fan watching, if you can't see that Francona wants nothing to do with this guy, then seriously, get your eyes checked, because it's obvious. You're right. Look, everybody does have to play in the Cincinnati series. I get it. They do. But when now you're moving, you know, you're moving Naylor over to first, you're not even using Bowers as a defensive replacement at the end of that game, which, who knows, maybe Tito should have done that. They lost the game. Everybody is accountable for a game like that. It was brutal on Saturday. It's one of the worst losses. That's right up there with the Cody Allen Grand Slam in New York a few years ago loss. I mean, there's some bad ones. You know, off the top of my head, road games like that. That one was just abysmal. I mean, hitting into triple plays, my God.
Oh, my God.
And the other thing, too, is they're hitting the ball hard. They're hitting it at people. You know, there was a play this week. I don't remember who was the hitter. It might have been Eddie Rosario. Grounds one to first. It takes this giant hop on the dirt. There's no way a 37-year-old Joey Votto skies and makes that play. Oh, but he did this weekend. I love Joey Votto. Don't get me wrong. He's a really good player and a great personality. But, my God, he looked like freaking Willie Mays this weekend against us. I mean, just making plays defensively. We couldn't get him out. Not even Shane Bieber could get him out. So that one was frustrating. But I think that CBC crew in the front office, that calculator and backpack crew, that just some of those CBCers in our front office, I think, have whispered enough in Cernanetti's ear, Mike and Chris, that if we DFA him, so he'll go somewhere else. And I don't see it.
Sometimes it doesn't work. See, that whole thing doesn't make sense to me. If it's not working here, yes, maybe will it work? See, Coco doesn't like Jake Bowers either. If it doesn't work here, sometimes you need to change the scenery, and sometimes it works out. Also, sometimes you DFA a guy, and he never makes it. But he's had enough chances here. It's like, enough's enough. And I know, listen, the Indians fan base is very infatuated with Bobby Bradley, and I still, while I believe that he was great and he did everything he should have this spring to get that job, I still think the most logical move for this team right now is to move Naylor to first base, make Jordan Luplow an everyday player. And, I mean, who's been more consistent on this team versus righties or lefties than Jordan Luplow, essentially?
He's been fine. No, he has been fine, and he had a big home run yesterday, huge home run yesterday.
Listen, I'd say he's been more than fine. He's hit two homers off of righties already. Every time he comes up against a lefty, you're starting him against a lefty, it's working. It is. He's been one of your more consistent hitters. So I think, personally, the best thing for this team right now is cut bait with Bowers, move Naylor to first base, where it's his natural position, despite the fact that I know that he let that ball go through his legs. You know, while it's all fine and dandy, and yes, I know he let the ball go through his legs and things weren't great, you know, Class A could have gotten the next guy out, and then we wouldn't even have talked about it. So there's that, too.
Well, you can't give a team like Cincinnati extra outs. Saturday was a nightmare for so many different scenarios. I mean, that game should have been a 6-0 final or whatever. And give Cincinnati credit. That's a damn good team. They are scrappy. They're kind of prickly at times. I mean, you could watch games this weekend and walk away. And I know you feel this way, Todd, where you say, I can't stand watching Adam Eaton and I can't stand playing against Jesse Winker. There are a couple of red asses, but you'd love them. You would love them if they were on our team. We totally need Jesse Winker. I told you this offseason on this show. If the Reds want a shortstop, let's trade for Winker. I told you that. I said he's an on the come bat that might be coming into his own. There's a reason the Reds didn't trade him. I mean, he looks pretty good with 1,000 OPS in their leadoff spot right now. He does, but
man, what a weasel, huh? Him and Adam Eaton is a gigantic weasel. Winker just annoyed me all weekend, and I texted this to you and the executive producer Jeremy. I was like, I think I found my two least favorite players this year, and we faced them both in the same week. I can't imagine disliking.
I know, but I would. Winker is exactly what we need. He's a left-handed bat that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, but also hits it hard. He's not a great defender by any stretch. I don't know why. Every ball Yu Chang hit him yesterday, he booted. He's not a great defender per se, but a bat that you can rely on that's right now, and it's a couple weeks in, so let's not say he's the second coming of anybody from the big red machine, but he's a good player, and the Indians don't have that. I mean, we're sitting here trying to love Ahmed Rosario. You know, like you texted yesterday, I really like him.
I do.
He's average. He's an average player. If Ahmed Rosario were any good, the Mets wouldn't have traded him. He's okay.
I mean, come on. They were trying to get Francisco Lindor.
Well, I know, but he's not.
His name.
He's okay.
That's a shortstop.
He's okay.
I apologize. I broke one of the two rules of the podcast.
Moratorium.
Never say the redacted ex-shortstop's name and never call them anything other than the unnamed team. So I apologize for breaking the rules.
I mean, like I said, I think Ahmed Rosario is fine, but if we're going to make a run here, and if this baseball team is going to do anything this year, that he can't be playing every day. He's a utility because he's a utility guy. He's okay.
On this team,
he probably does have to play every day. But
on this team,
but he's not that good. Is my point. I love Andrés Giménez.
I would say that the jury is still out. I'm throwing away last year, and I think that the guy that we're getting is more of the 2019 version. I didn't like that throw in center field because Saturday when they won in extra innings. I think it was Naquin hit a fly ball to center with the stupid man on second and nobody out rule. And Rosario's arm was very reminiscent of Johnny Damon, Grady Sizemore, and Coco Crisp out there. The three worst outfield arms in recent Tribe history.
If Coco Crisp only had a better arm, he would have been up at the plate in Game 7.
Yeah. Oh, are we gonna bring that back up?
No, sorry.
Jan Gomes airmailed that throw. You had to be.
I know. My point is you're right. On this team, Ahmed Rosario playing is fine to me. But, you know, the hope is that they realize that, all right, we've got too many pitchers right now, so they got to make a move. Want to make a move? They got to make a move. Gamble, I never want to see again. Bowers, I never want to see again. That's a little Richard Christie for you.
Now I'm going to have to listen to the chess call.
The Howard Stern, Rich Sal and Richard chess call, a prank call. That's right. Yeah, you want to make a move? But in all seriousness, like, the hope is you bring up Daniel Johnson and he becomes an everyday player. And you go, wow, Daniel Johnson every day, whether it's right field or center or whatever. And he's better than Ahmed Rosario. That's the hope.
You don't know that.
No, I don't. But I'm saying is we're playing this mix and match April platoon game, and I'd rather see better players. I'm not saying I dislike Ahmed Rosario. I think he's fine. But like yesterday, you and Jeremy on the text, oh, I love Ahmed Rosario every day. Ahmed, I'm like, he's meh. He's fine. I like watching Andrés Giménez. To me, is 22. makes plays at short and hits the ball really hard. Like, and he's 22, finally getting his first crack at everyday play with fans in the stands. Last year, if you want to take that out. Rosario, the Mets gave him like 3-4 years. He was okay, but he wasn't what they thought he was going to be, and they shipped him out of town. So he's all right, but I'm just...
But I would tell you that Rosario's bat is more reliable than Jimenez's bat right now. Plus, it's a right-handed bat, which I like. You know, plenty of left-handed bats. You know, they need Rosario's right-handed bat, in my opinion.
Yes, I'm not disagreeing with that.
I like it. I think, I'm all for Daniel Johnson coming up. In my opinion, as I said, DFA Bowers, you bring up Daniel Johnson in that spot, and then, you know, whatever you want to do with Sam Hentges, you want to keep him or not, you know, whatever you want to do. I don't know about that. But you need an extra bat, obviously, at this point. But to me, you'll give Daniel Johnson plenty of shots between center field and right field. But I think that their best lineup right now, from a hitting standpoint, is with Amed Rosario in center, Jordan Luplow in right, and Josh Naylor playing first. That's where I think that they'll be at their best. And then you can play Daniel Johnson where you need to, when you kind of rotate him around. Give him center field, give him right field. And another thing, Fromyhr Reyes did not look terrible in right field this weekend.
No, he likes playing the outfield. He was okay, other than him missing the cutoff man, which drives me crazy.
Eddie Rosario missed the cutoff.
I know.
It's funny. I tweeted this yesterday. It was Amed Rosario missed the cutoff man. It was Luplow. He was playing center field yesterday, right? Yeah. And he missed the cutoff man. I was like, why is it that every one of our outfielders seemingly can't hit a cutoff man? And my man Gage Will responded, and he's like, that's because most of them aren't really outfielders.
I know they were doing the whole Bowers versus Bradley thing in the spring. It just, the way they've constructed this roster, and Zach Meisel brings it up all the time at the Athletic and on his podcast, with TJ. The roster construction is baffling at times. Like, you sit here and go, man, our front office really knows how to develop pitchers in the pitching factory. And look at what Brian Shaw has done and everything else. And then you look at some of the construction of the roster, and it's like Rosario's playing center, but he didn't play center at all in the spring. Naylor's playing first. He didn't play first all spring. So it's like, what are you doing here? Because you got to look ahead and know. You have to put all the options out there for spring training and give these guys an opportunity. Doesn't make any sense.
I agree. They botched it from the beginning. They should have had Amed Rosario playing outfield from day one. I don't know why they were so married to Naylor in right field. And again, I think this goes back to the front office telling Tito, Naylor's going to be in the outfield and Jake Bowers is going to be at first. And that is what's going to happen. So make it happen. The more I look at it, the more I believe that's got to be the case. Like, why else would they have had Naylor every single day in right field, even though he's a natural first baseman when first base was such a hole? It just doesn't – something's just not adding up.
No.
And normally I like to say this front office and Tito are in lockstep and on the same page, but this offseason and the way this roster's constructed, like you said, is a little baffling and makes me think, maybe it's not as tight as we thought it was. I don't know.
Dairy Brothers Tribecast on a Monday off day for the Indians. They'll be back at it against the White Sox for two games at Progressive Field Tuesday and Wednesday. Chicago's playing pretty well. And then Thursday through Sunday, the worst team in the American League, that's right, the New York Yankees, at 5-10 out of the gate, come to town. We'll get you the pitching matchups coming up. We got to talk about Shane Bieber, Todd, yesterday. I mean, the guy's breaking Major League Baseball records. I know in 2021, we're seeing this swing and miss rate that is just alarming. I mean, nobody puts the ball in play. So then when you combo that with Shane just being this dominant pitcher that nobody can touch, I mean, his numbers are unbelievable, man. I mean, this guy's special.
We are so spoiled from what we've seen. And basically, let's just kind of go back to we had CC Sabathia, Cy Young Award winner in 2007. I'm not even going to talk about his playoff.
Postseason?
Yeah.
No show?
Yes. I won't even bring that up. So that, you know, you had that season, which was great. Cliff Lee in 08 was better than CeCe was in 07. He was so, do you remember how great he
was? Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was one of the best single seasons I've ever seen. I mean, every time he went out there, it was zeros and 10 strikeouts. The guy was unbelievable. Then we had basically Kluber won two Cy Youngs, probably should have won three, and was in the top three in another season. We had an unbelievable run of complete dominance, and now you're seeing, and then even like, even if you want to say Carrasco had a great, you know, run, Clevenger had some dominant moments, but now these last three seasons of Shane Bieber, it's like, we are unbelievably spoiled, and it brings me back to the fact that you were born in 1973 and I was born in 1976, and I'd say for both of us, probably 1980 is probably where we started our real love for the Indians, let's say. From 1980 to 2007, basically, we saw none of this. We didn't have anything like this.
No,
now,
right. You had some veterans, right? You had some veterans in the 90s and, you know, Charles Nagy types, but nothing this dominant, no.
Yeah, I mean, you put Nagy on this staff today and he's, you know, fourth starter, you know, in the last couple of years. I mean, yeah, great, you know, great pitcher for the Indians, was wonderful guy and, you know, did great here. But, I mean, the best of the best back, you know, for the Indians was Bartolo, basically, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think that's a good call.
Know. Yeah. And, you know, it's unbelievable, and we're so lucky to watch it. And that game Tuesday against – was it Tuesday or Monday, Bieber Giolito, whatever day it was just as good as it gets. That is – it was – for baseball nerds like me and you who love pitching duels, I thought that was so fabulous to watch. I loved it, despite the fact that, you know, it was 2-0 in 10 innings. It was one of the best games I've seen in years, truly.
This team's playing so many close games. I mean, I know that they got blown out Friday night against the Reds, and that was just Plesac having a bad night. And then the rout against the White Sox. That's what I meant. The White Sox loss against Plesac, and then Logan Allen on Friday. But other than that, I mean, this team's playing a lot of tight games. And you look up and you go, you know, if you want to win those games, you got to have the bullpen arms. And, you know, Karinchak came in even yesterday and was just, or Saturday, and blew away the Reds. And again, Cincinnati has a very good team. That lineup is good.
Yeah.
I don't know why Tyler Naquin saw anything above the belt ever. And the two mistakes.
Below the belt.
But he should only be seeing pitches above the belt, but you're right.
Belt and up, yes.
Yeah. You know, so it was weird kind of seeing Naquin take Shane Bieber deep yesterday. But, you know, this team can stick around. You know, you made the point last week, like, we're not going anywhere. It's a good team. But it doesn't have the firepower in the lineup that the White Sox have. And that was even with, you know, Tim Anderson at about 80%. Now he's back and raking and already on base against the Red Sox today and got a score to run. And then the Reds lineup. So, you know, that's what's the frustrating part is that this pitching is good. The bullpen's excellent. You know, Class A would have had a save on Saturday if Naylor comes up with that ball. So the Indians are set there. It's just a matter of figuring out this offense and, you know, and then kind of just going from there. But the schedule's not going to get any easier. I mean, the White Sox again. I don't think the Yankees are going to play this poorly again ever. Hopefully they don't wake up against us, which they have done before. You know, and then the Twins. So it's like, man, and then the White Sox again.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. We will have had three series with the White Sox in the first in basically 4 weeks, and then you don't see them again until September. Late July. There's a 3-game series. You know, the 30th, 31st, and August 1st. It's kind of weird, but you know. First of all, it's weather permitting. I don't know if you know this, but the weather here is supposed to be atrocious. It's supposed to be about 30 degrees and snow 3 inches on Wednesday. So I'm going to guess that Wednesday's game is not going to happen, which I'm supposed to be going to, by the way. But yeah, it's going to be terrible weather, and it's supposed to not be great all weekend. So we shall see what happens when you get to the pitching matchups there. But yeah, this is a this is definitely a tough run. I mean, obviously, you got to start off with Detroit and Kansas City. Detroit's playing the unnamed team. I broke both rules in the same podcast. Unnamed in Kansas City. The Royals are playing some good baseball.
They are. They are. First place
Kansas City Royals.
That's right. And you know they're hitting. Their lineup's pretty good.
Right. They're hitting. They're like you put their lineup with our pitching staff, and you'd have probably the best team in the American League right now.
And I know it's so early, and you think about all the bitching that we're doing and talking about the negative stuff, and obviously we brought up Bieber, and look, Class A has been great.
Has been great. I mean, look at that. The formula was there on Saturday, by the way.
Yeah.
Tristan McKenzie, whatever you want to say about his velocity and they're building him up and whatever it is, it seems like he's basically a five-inning pitcher at this point. Like that. And you're turning it over to the Uncle Brian 2.0, Brian Shaw in the sixth, Whitgren in the seventh, Karinchak in the eighth, and Class A in the ninth. And it's basically been game over.
Yeah, you're right. Saturday was the day. The other issue with this past weekend was the pitcher hitting and all the stupid maneuvering that had to go on. And in Bauer's batting eighth on Friday and being intentionally walked to get to Logan Allen, and then Saturday, Hedges being intentionally walking Austin Hedges. I mean that's pure comedy. And Major League Baseball just sits there and allows this. It's a joke. This is not early 70s anymore. Let's try something different. Let's try this DH thing and have it in two different leagues and make it enough fun. Can you imagine? I mean, yesterday I was thinking about this. And I kind of texted you, like, why wasn't Bieber bunting there? And then, you know what? After the text, I realized, I don't want him squaring up and putting his body in front of home plate.
What if he breaks a finger on it?
Take a nice light swing, jog to first, and get back in the dugout. Don't get hurt.
Right.
Don't get hurt.
Yep.
But that shouldn't be the way the game's played. That's stupid.
Nope. Yep.
So stupid.
I agree.
All right. We got to talk about the rest of the week and obviously what's ahead, like you said, Todd. But you got to tell us about Dr. Ben and the crew at the Center for Advanced Dentistry. Ben is a Cincinnati guy, isn't he? So, he's a Clevelander through and through.
But he's a Cleveland sports fan and University of Cincinnati basketball, who, by the way, hired a new head coach, Wes Miller. I haven't had that conversation with Dr. Ben yet, but kudos to him. And you know what? The truth is, if you're looking for the best dentist in Northeastern Ohio, if you're looking for the best dentist in all of America, you got to go to the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein, and his new partner, Dr. Sean Slessel. If you live on the east side, it's great. They're right off of the Chagrin Boulevard exit there, off of 271, right there in Beechwood, in Orange Place. Pretty simple to get to. The nicest people. They treat you so well. They have such great, everything there is so clean. It's just a positive environment where they make you feel at ease. It's really, truly a pleasure going. And I know no one likes going to the dentist, but you know what? They make you like it because they're so friendly and so good at what they do. So if you need a dentist and you live on the east side, or you don't care about the 20, 25-minute drive and you live on the west side, check them out, cfad.net, or give them a call at 216-595-1710. They'll talk teeth. They'll talk tribe. They'll talk Browns, whatever you want. Give them a call, 216-595-1710. Dr. Ben Hornstein, Dr. Sean Slessel, tell them the Dairy Brothers sent you, and they'll hook you up.
Speaking of hooking up, the new Cleveland Indians shirt is available at BreakingT.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y, takes you right to the Cleveland collection. If you're a Browns fan, you want a cool Baker Mayfield t-shirt, a new one, it says Believe in Baker, check it out at BreakingT.com/dairy. But also the new Brian Shaw, who knew that there would be a Brian Shaw t-shirt, but there is an Uncle Brian and the Rest of the Boys t-shirt with the State of Ohio kind of logo on it. It's a very cool looking shirt. There's the blue one. Did you get the blue one?
Yes, I was just going to say, you know who just bought that shirt? This guy. Yes,
there you go. So Todd went to BreakingT.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y, and he put in the promo code TribeCast10 to get 10% off. You can do the same, whether it's Brown stuff, Tribe, even Cavs, the Jarrett Allen for Ohio shirt. Are they still playing basketball professionally in that city?
I as far as I know, I again, I'm just waiting for my Dean Wade t-shirt. That's all.
So breakingtea.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y, takes you right to the Cleveland Collection. And we appreciate them certainly for being our great subscribers as well here on the Dairy Brothers Tribecast. Isn't there somebody too doing a Tribecast that tried to like steal our bit here for podcasting?
Why would you alert anybody to
this? Look, we're the originals, man.
The only other one I will give credit to is because they're friends of ours is Zach and TJ. That's it.
The Selby is Godcast, of course.
Yeah. Listen, I'm an equal opportunity. I think everybody should listen to all Tribe podcasts. There's lots of great stuff. Oh, and of course, our great friend Jeff Ellis over at your other one.
Locked On Indians, yes.
And we're going to be actually going to do a little crossover with him coming up soon with video and everything.
That's going to be sweet.
But yeah. But, let's talk about something very important here.
Yes.
What would you do if you were Bobby Bradley and you were going to get passed over again? Like, at a certain point, and you're Bobby Bradley, what would you do with that?
I think the kid has a good attitude. He worked hard, and you have to stay ready. I mean, they're playing games against other teams in Columbus and traveling before they start playing for real. So it's not like he's just sitting there at Lake County or he's sitting there in Arizona. They're playing exhibition games, so that's good. But what can you really do? I mean,
are they playing against anybody, by the way, besides Indianapolis? Or is that just they're doing it because it's close?
I think they're playing Louisville, too, I think.
Those
are pretty close. Yeah, I'm not sure they're traveling it to Scranton-Wilkes-Barre or whatever, but... I did see that they're playing games. So who knows if they're in Indianapolis in a couple of weekends, maybe I'll go.
Oh, you got it. Scout. Actually, the executive producer and I, after taking a look at the rosters, we're very intrigued to go down to Akron because, they got a lot of, you know, that's where Gabriel Arias is and Tyler Freeman. There's a lot of intriguing prospects down there once things get settled and they start playing, I believe we're going to go down there.
No, the minor league teams are going to be good. I mean, Arias is getting some ABs with Columbus already and playing some third base. I know Bradley Zimmer hit a couple of bombs the other day.
I don't want to see him again. Zach and I were having this conversation. He's a waste of the 40-man roster spot at this point. I'm done. And you know where he lost me, by the way? And I think the reason why he got passed over again, besides the fact that he's not that good anymore, you remember a couple years ago when he was hurt and the team asked him, and they said, we really want you to go down to winter ball and get some game at bats. He's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I know.
I think that really turned them off.
Not a good look.
I mean, if he couldn't break camp this year, how are you going to ever use him? You know what I mean? Plus, you got Daniel Johnson, you got Oscar Mercado, and now all of a sudden Jordan Luplo's playing well, and he's playing center field, and they're trying to med Rosario in center field. Like there's a lot of people in line ahead of him.
I don't know, man. I mean, I just think that all these guys should be, you know, good at it. It's hard. It is hard. I get it. You've been passed over, and it's a pandemic, and you're down in Columbus. You're playing exhibition games. But you got to be ready. You never know when there's an injury or whatever. And the Indians have brought guys up in May, and they've stayed the whole year before. You mentioned Mercado before. That's happened. All right, so let's go over this week and wrap up here. So two games with the White Sox. You said the weather is going to be bad, so let's see.
Yes.
But unfortunately, it appeared at the end of last week that the White Sox, based on having to play a doubleheader, having to play four games with Boston, that Carlos Rodon, who no-hit the Indians last week on Wednesday, would have pitched on Monday for the White Sox today on the Patriots League Day game against Boston. Well, due to injuries to Lance Lynn and games getting canceled, and then they had to do a doubleheader, Rodon is going to pitch on Tuesday against Zach Plesac again. So that ought to be interesting. Wednesday to be determined for the White Sox against Savali. With Lynn on the DL, the White Sox need another starter. and Giolito pitched today, and then they used a bunch of guys Saturday and Sunday. So we'll see what Chicago does.
Kopech pitched.
Yeah, he's not pitching until Friday. And then he's not pitching until Friday.
Two games in the doubleheader too, so it can't be him.
No, it's not going to be him. I heard La Russa say that. The genius before the
did
game.
You watch him walk to the mound this week.
He's the worst.
He can't even move.
He's the worst.
Hate him.
Four games with the Yankees, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. Thursday, Jordan Montgomery, the left-hander, against Logan Allen. Friday, if the Indians want, they could put Bieber there ahead of McKenzie and pitch Bieber against Garrett Cole, because Garrett Cole will pitch Friday. Or they could just keep it in the same line, have McKenzie pitch Friday and give Bieber an extra day and have him pitch Saturday.
I think that they should skip McKenzie because the way things they've been babying him, and we talked about this before, and he's really become he's essentially a five inning pitcher. And the other thing you might consider doing is basically flip flopping them, because I can't remember which Zelman brother it was, but yesterday Antonelli brought up a good point. You got to, because of the way McKenzie and Allen have kind of been five-inning pitchers at most, you might want to have one of those guys behind Bieber in the rotation.
Yeah, that's why you can move. Yeah, you can move, totally move Bieber up and then have McKenzie after. You're right. Indians might do that. Plesac will pitch.
Put him in between Bieber and Plesac, even between, you know, Plesac and Savali, even. The way Savali's been going.
Wouldn't be a bad idea. And then Plesac would pitch Sunday, and then the Yankees would have to decide who to put where. Taillon would pitch Sunday. Domingo Germán is supposedly coming back. Remember, he was in the rotation at the start of the year for the Yankees. He's been an arm they've liked for years, but he got shellacked in his first two starts, and then they sent him down. But now, because New York's struggled pitching, I mean, Corey Kluber we will not see, which is sad, because I would have loved to have seen him come back to Progressive Field and get the kind of, you know, the video tribute and the standing ovation and all that. But he's pitching Wednesday, so he's not even going to get to be a part of this whole thing. They'll see every starter but him, but it just depends on what day they use those guys. But they can move Cole, try to match up Cole against Bieber. They could put Germán there. So it's sort of up in the air for this week, but those are the guys that, you know, you'll see. A couple of lefties with Rodon and Montgomery. The Indians have got to get the offense going. And against Rodon this week, I mean, those at-bats, and then not a lot of hard-hit balls. The Indians have hit the ball pretty hard and had some bad luck, but on that day, no. Rodon owned them.
And he, you know, the thing about Rodon is, you know, he was like a first-round draft pick. He was a very high, he was supposed to be, he was supposed to be a stud, and it kind of didn't work for him. And then he got hurt, and he had Tommy John surgery, and now he's back after he had the abbreviated stint last year. They brought him back for next to nothing, and he's throwing harder than he's ever thrown before. He was hitting 98.
I know. Untendered, I mean, and brought back.
It does seem like everybody's hitting 98 these days, but still, he was great. I mean, sometimes you just got to tip your cap, and that was it, man. He just dominated.
He was good, no question. All right, Todd, an 8-7 ball club could be a lot better, but, you know.
Could be a lot worse.
I mean, should have had Saturday's game, and so if you really look up and go, man, split with the White Sox in Chicago after being no hit, and then taking 2 out of 3 from the Reds, and of course they dropped 2 of 3, wouldn't have been a bad week. So we'll see how it goes this week. Not going to get any easier. I think the Yankees will play much better than they've been playing. So we'll talk again next week.
Sounds good, brother.
Dairy Brothers Tribecast from WaitingForNextYear.com. We'll see you next week.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Press Box Access.